This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff, and the following story is a romance. Specifically, the romance between a New York City magazine writer and a Rockbridge County cowboy that produced, after much inner turmoil on the writer's part, both self-knowledge and a book she calls Rurally Screwed. In the middle of the last decade, Jesse Nadler was living the fast-paced life of a young professional Manhattanite. She was partying almost as hard as she was working as a magazine writer.
Writing for magazines teaches you how to get over yourself. It teaches you to not have an ego at all about your work. And I think that's a very important skill that every writer needs to learn quickly. Because a lot of writers are very precious about their words, and they think that everything they write is gospel and it's so beautiful. And working for magazines, I mean, you get that beat out of you very quickly. I mean, I've had stories come back to me with every page with a red slash through it, every page by the editor-in-chief. So you just learn that, like, you can't take that stuff personally. And for me, that was enormously helpful. But it also scarred me for life, too. You know?
In what way?
Well, you can't have an ego. You know, I don't have an ego about my work. I just don't.
But even without an ego, Jesse Nadler still found life lacking. Then she was sent to cover the bucking horse sale in Miles City, Montana, where she watched her future husband, the Rockbridge County cowboy, get bounced off a bull.
Fly through the air, land on his rear end, get up, launch himself over the fence, you know. And I just looked at him, and I honestly, without no lie, I looked at him, and I'm like, that's the guy that I'm going to marry.
No kidding.
No kidding. He didn't know that, of course. But I saw in his eyes my soul's opposite, I guess.
Your soul's opposite.
Yeah. Jake, on the outside, is a very strong, manly, type A, you know, jock, soldier, cowboy.
Graduate of VMI.
Yeah, graduate of Virginia Military Institute, a very fine school. And I was this sort of ballsy New York City, you know, swearing, drinking, smoking, not religious partier, you know, who I guess you could say I'm pretty raw in some respects, whereas he's a little more, he has great manners and he doesn't really swear and he goes to church. So we're very opposite, very opposite. But in his eyes, I saw a kindred spirit. You know, usually when you think of this cowboy archetype, you think of someone who's just a hard ass, you know, who is just tough and they don't take any crap. And in Jake, I saw this very kind of gentle spirit.
What vision of your life was in your head when you drove into Lexington?
I thought that I was having my happily ever after moment. I thought that we were riding into the sunset and that, you know, I had let go of the rat race and let go of uncertainty and let go of dysfunction, and I was going to find peace and prosperity in this new small, you know, gentle, quiet town.
She's laughing. So what did you find?
I just found more anxiety, more confusion, more dismay, more disappointment, because I wasn't right with myself. You know, I was looking for a place. I was looking for an environment to make me happy. And an environment will never make you happy. You know, you are the only thing that can make you happy. Your marriage can't make you happy. Your friends can't make you happy. I was hell-bent, bound, and determined to master the culture. I was going to bring the culture to my will.
How's that work for you?
Yeah, it didn't really work that well. Like, I, you know, cooked like a crazy person. I learned to sew. I was canning my brains out, you know, anything to sort of get a leg up on what it meant to be, what it means to be a quote unquote country woman. You know, if I was going to live here, I was going to champion my environment. Because otherwise, why was I here?
I was interested in your changing relationships with the women in mm-hmm. Rockbridge County.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that a little bit? How you what you saw when you arrived and what you see now?
Yeah, when you have judgments about a place, you go into your new environment with those judgments, and that's kind of what you see. You know, your judgments cloud your vision. And when I came to Lexington, I just had this perspective that, well, you know, women in a small town in the South, you know, where there's not a big economy, most of the economy in Lexington is either, you know, in academia or it's in like construction, things like that. But, well, the women, I guess they're just not, they must not be doing much with their lives, you know, like just very myopic and silly. And it was really, you know, I'm the one, I learned that I was the one who was very ignorant. And what I've learned is that people are pretty much the same wherever you go, whether in Manhattan or Virginia. You know, they're just as progressive here as they are up there, and sometimes more so.
I loved the way the covered dish experience weaves through. Had you ever been to a covered dish extravaganza before you came to Lexington?
I mean, I guess
a potluck.
Yeah, I guess I have when I was a kid. But, you know, New York, that's just so far outside of the culture. I was in New York for almost 15 years, so that's really where I was.
No potlucks.
No potlucks, absolutely not. And I did just find it really hilarious that that is kind of the culture in Rockbridge County. Is, you know, get together, you bring a dish, and the dishes are always loaded with cheese, they're always loaded with meat, you know, and I just found a lot of humor in that.
You know, one of the things that I really liked, though, about your book, in some ways it's kind of a Cinderella story, but you never collapsed into fairy tale-ness. And I wondered if you were working out sort of what had gone on with you while you were writing it.
I mean, the writing process was extremely cathartic for me, dealing with issues that I have about myself, you know, and issues with marriage and men and women and how we relate to each other, and issues of living in sort of a back to the land kind of environment where I felt like I had to be physically strong. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just felt like I was an alien. And writing the book really helped me figure out a lot of things
about
me, about what I am, about who my husband is, what our marriage is, what marriage is. You know, it helped me process that. Because I think there was a part of me that's like, when you get married, you know, you're going to spend your weekends together and you're going to go shopping at Bed Bath & Beyond for a juicer and you're going to hold hands to go out to lunch. And that's not marriage. That's not what it is. I mean, marriage is work. Life is work. And we work. That's what we do.
It seems to me that you essentially wrote your way into this sort of peace of mind
mm-hmm.
that you have now. Is that an oversimplification or an overemphasis on?
No, I think it's totally 100% true. I think once I got right with myself, who I am, I mean, I'm a writer. That's what I am. That's the only thing I am. That's the only thing I know how to do. It's the only thing I've ever done. Once I accepted that and stopped trying to be somebody else, you know, like a country person, a horseback rider, then I was finally able to, I guess, save myself.
But when the crash of 08 hit, work dried up, and Jessie Nadler stopped writing for money. To fill the void, she started a blog, which has become extremely popular in spite of its nearly unpronounceable name.
It was my friend Paula up in New York. She's she had suggested the title Rural and Screwed. And I just decided to shorten it.
Squish it together.
Yeah, rurally screwed, which is a double-edged sword because saying that word, rurally, it's like that bit in 30 Rock, the rural juror. I don't know if you remember that, but it's
I do.
I can't even say the name of my
rural
own book.
Rural is a word I avoid like the plague.
Yeah, I mean, it's a horrible, horrible word. So I don't even call my book by its, you know, by the name. I don't even call my blog by its name.
But there it is.
Yeah.
And okay, so you started this blog,
mm-hmm.
and it got kind of caught on.
Yeah, it's been a slow build. It wasn't like it didn't catch fire, you know. It's been a slow and steady build.
And it's been featured?
I've been in French Elle, of all magazines. I've been on Jezebel.com, Newsweek, sort of like based on blog experiences.
Do you ever feel like walking up and saying, my name's Jesse Nadler and I've been in French Elle?
Yes, that is, I would love to say that at parties, but I don't.
But you don't. Jesse Nadler had started and stopped working on a book since 2007. She worried that people would get caught up in its Sex and the City moves to the country aspect. And she knew her story, being about real life, ran deeper than that. But just as she decided to buckle down and finish her book, life got a lot more complicated.
I was really second-guessing what I was doing here in a big way. I thought I'd made a big mistake. I thought I had married a fantasy. And then I found out I was pregnant. And I sort of had to get my head right and stop staring into my belly button for answers. I had to accept my choices. You know, I couldn't fight them anymore. I had to accept what my marriage was, is, who my husband is. I had to start seeing him for, you know, who he really is. And I had to let go of these ideas that I had about what it meant to be, you know, a rural woman.
You just used the R word.
I know.
Successfully.
Rural. And right about the time I accepted this and decided to be a grown-up and let go of all my posturing and the roles that I tried to play, it was right about the time my husband found out he was getting deployed to Afghanistan. So it was a bittersweet reckoning because, you know, once you get right with yourself is when the world is upended again. And that was very true in my case. So I had to internalize all of those lessons that I'd learned in Rockbridge County over the last 4 or 5 years. That, okay, now it was really time to like stand up and stand on my own 2 feet and, you know, make a go of it here by myself, on my own, without my husband, without anyone holding my hand, you know, without trying to play a role. And it was very rewarding in a weird, perverse kind of way.
In what weird, perverse way?
Well, it just sounds perverse to say, you know, you learn a lot about yourself when your husband's not there. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm denigrating him at all, you know. But Rockbridge County became my place when he was mm-hmm. gone. It became my place, too, you know. It wasn't just his place. I didn't feel like I was living his life anymore. I finally was able to kind of step out and make this place my own. And I needed that.
Yeah. Not only did Jesse Nadler finish her book, but there was a small bidding war over who got to publish it. And the publication of Rurally Screwed, the book, triggered a story and a photo shoot in the New York Post.
But the Post does not do nuance, you know. And my story, my life, you know, definitely is very nuanced, particularly given that Jake, you know, is a 2-time, you know, war veteran. I mean, he's been deployed 3 times. He just got back from Afghanistan at 11:20 on Sunday night, and Monday morning, the Post arrived to shoot the story. So he was very discombobulated, not super wild about what was being asked of him, but I'm not in a position to turn down any exposure. So I said, honey, put on your cowboy hat, put on your boots, put on your biggest belt buckle, let's go. And you know, he's a good sport, so he did it. Some days you gotta dance.
Live it up when you get the chance. You're a wife,
mm-hmm.
mother, still living in your bungalow in Rockbridge County. Mm-hmm. You've written a book. You write a blog. You still can?
I haven't since June came along. But all that kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah. all the super country woman stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be raising chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found Hugh?
Yeah, I have in a big way. Yeah. I'm very happy here. It took a while, but I'm very happy.
Well, I've been afraid of changing.
Jessie Nadler reading the passage from close to the end of her book, Rurally Screwed.
But time makes older children get.
I finally understood that identity comes once you stop searching for it. Once you stop looking to conceptual thought for definitions of who you are or think you should be. This was the residual lesson from Ann Abundance, the Bible study teacher, who had turned out to be quite the sage life coach. It is possible to bend and sway in the breeze too much, endlessly tossed by questions of who you are or what does it all mean. Sometimes the most courageous thing a person can do is stand straight and strong. There was freedom in this, freedom from no longer bothering to ask myself such ruminative questions. This impression was especially acute on days when I found myself removing the empty bladder from my Excalibur Estates box Chablis, cutting a corner with a pair of scissors to tease the last remaining drops into my glass. It's just boxed wine, I'd whisper. Don't overthink it. It's just boxed wine.
Come on, listen up those chains and dance.
You'll find a link to Jessie Nadler's blog and her website on the Spark page at WMRA.org.